be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Praise you, Lord.
On one occasion, Jesus spoke thus, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, to you I offer praise. For what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, you have revealed to the merest of children. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. Everything has been given over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and anyone to whom the Father reveals to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and your souls will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Rebuild my church, Francis, that you can see is falling into ruin. Those words spoken from the crucifix of San Damiano to the young Giovanni Bernardone as he had popped in to the dilapidated church bearing San Damiano's name, he took literally. He thought that what the Lord was asking was for him to reconstruct that church. So he went to his father's shop, hawked some of his fine velvet fabrics, sold his horse in order to buy the stones necessary to rebuild the place where we prayed earlier today. But the Lord had a far bigger building project in mind. We will see upstairs when we're in the upper basilica that the church that the Lord wanted rebuilt was the church he had founded on Peter. When Francis went down to Rome to get the approval for the Franciscan rule, the night before he was to appear before Innocent III, Innocent had a dream. He saw a young man in a carpet bag with a rope for a belt, literally holding up the Cathedral of St. John in the Lateran. He didn't know what the dream meant, but at this time the church was not approving new religious orders. And the following day, this man dressed in a burlap sack almost with a rope for a belt came into his presence, described the charism he had received from God and asked for permission. Pope Innocent III gave it on account of that dream, because the rebuilding project God had in mind was not something that was going to be made out of marble, wood, bricks, and glass, but of men, women, boys and girls, living stones built on Christ, the cornerstone. Jesus had chosen Francis to rebuild his church as a whole on living rocks of holiness, more solid than even these stones that have been here for 800 years. How was that to occur? Jesus, through Francis, was calling the entire church to be rebuilt in a holy way. And that's not just a message that Francis was supposed to preach to others, but it was fundamentally going to be a witness Francis would show to others, to show this Christ-like type of life so that others in seeing it might come to emulate it. And it had various stages. The first stage of it was charity. Margarita told us a little bit earlier that when that poor man came into his father's shop when John was working there, he didn't give him the time of day, and only later recognized when he went out to find him with a contrite heart that he wasn't there, that it had to have been the Lord calling him out of his self-centeredness to care for others. Soon thereafter, he was riding out towards Spoleto, trying to seek fame and knight errantry. And he saw a leper come on out, asking for an alms. Francis stopped, His heart had already begun to be changed. And he reached into his sack and he dropped an alm into the leper's destroyed hand. And he quickly sped off lest he catch that contagion. But the same thing happened in him. His heart began to speak to him. His conscience began to convict him. He turned the revulsed horse around and sped back, dismounted, went up to the leper, grasped his hand, and kissed it. Because he began to recognize that the holes in that leper's hands were like the wounds in Christ's. He was going to heroically exercise charity. The first aspect of the reform of the church that St. Francis carried out in his own body was a reform of true Christ-like love, because there can be no reform without it. Today in the Vatican, Pope Francis has started the summit on leading the entire church toward reform, especially in the way that we love others. But it's not something for others to do. It's something that begins with each of us as part of that rebuilding project, and it will occur, and it will hang or it will fall on our imitating Christ's love. Second step in that transformation happened in the square of Santa Maria Maggiore here, when Francis's father, outraged at what he thought his son was doing, totally losing his own mind, giving up a good life in the world, and not just becoming a priest, not just becoming a Benedictine, but becoming a beggar. His father, who wanted his son to bring the whole family into nobility, was bringing the whole family into ignominy. So he denounced him to Bishop Gubbio. And it was there in that courtyard outside the Episcopal Palace in which Francis admitted that he had stolen his father's fabric, that he would make restitution. But then he finished his speech by saying, "And Father, I want to thank you because you have in fact given me the clothes I am wearing now. And these too I will return to you with gratitude." And he stripped naked in that courtyard. That's why Bishop Gubbio covered him with his coat. And he said, "Now I can truly say, Our Father who art in heaven." He was going to live thereafter, trusting in the providence of God in all things. It's the second way the reform of the church that God asked Francis to lead occurs. By not just making a little room for God, not just having a tiny itty-bitty piece of trust in the Lord's love for us, but recognizing that if earthly fathers know how to give good things to their own children, how much more will the Heavenly Father send the Holy Spirit, send Himself to those who ask Him for anything? That if this Father cares for the sparrows and the lilies, He will care for us even more. And that was what the great scandal of Francis was. Somebody who took Jesus' Sermon on the Mount literally and trusted to that degree. Someone who, when he heard the word of God saying, "If you wish to be perfected, go sell all that you have. Give the money to the poor and your treasure will be great in heaven, and then come follow me." And he acted on those words, hearing them as words to be done. That was the second way the Lord was rebuilding him as a solid stone on which future generations would be able to construct their own life. The third step in the reform of the church, through first the reform of Francis, was through his adopting the Lord's poverty, the Lord's humility, the Lord's chastity, and the Lord's obedience. The Lord's poverty. Jesus did not even have a place to lay his head. And Francis was just borrowing stones from the time he had his massive conversion at 25 until he died at 46. Because of that trust in providence. He was one who learned from the Lord, as Jesus commanded in the gospel we've just heard. He who is meek and humble of heart. And he found rest precisely in the Lord, who is greater than any pillow. Chastity, how hard he needed to work for it, rolling even in a thorn bush, naked. But he was serious about it. And obedience, that he would hang on every word that came from God's mouth, seek to respond. The word to hear, shema in Hebrew, is the same word to obey. If we really know God is talking, when God speaks, there doesn't have to be a great debate. We seek to respond as Our Lady did promptly, let my whole life develop according to your word. Because Francis, in living this way by these virtues, recognized that Christ was his true wealth, that Christ was his true pride and glory, that Christ was his true love, and that Christ was his true freedom. All of us in the church are called to be living stones following this example. Even though our poverty, our humility, our chastity, and our obedience may take different forms according to our state of life, none is optional for us as a Catholic. Each is the way to become more Christ-like, who himself seeks to yoke us to him who is poor, humble, meek, chaste, and obedient to the Father until death. And if this wasn't enough, 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days before God would come to call Francis home, the Lord conformed Francis most to himself when he was praying in Liverna before another crucifix. From the wounds of the Lord on that crucifix came rays that pierced Francis's hands, feet, and side. And he bore the stigmata of the Lord. It's why we have today's first reading. May I never boast of anything but the cross of our Lord. Through it, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And this was literal. Later he said, henceforth, let no man bug me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. Jesus was conforming Francis, body and soul, to his own love on the cross, so that he could share in the Lord's risen life more fully. The Lord was going to crucify him to all worldliness so that he could be an example of the one who would come from heaven. Today, as we come here to this holy place to celebrate Mass, the Lord is saying to us, not Francis, rebuild my church which is falling into ruin, but Michael, Allison, Mary Pam, rebuild my church which is falling into ruin. Saying Roger, Carlos, rebuild my church that is falling into ruin. I need you. I call you. I have made you for this moment. Let us learn from Francis how that is done. It's not by pointing the finger at what others need to do. It starts by becoming a sturdier living stone. And we do that, as we learn from Francis, by our charity, by our trust in God and all his providential promises, by our own poverty, humility, chastity, and obedience, and by our own becoming one with the loving wounds of the Lord. We might not be struck from a crucifix so that we'll bleed in 5 spots in our body, but every time we receive the Lord, we become one with his sacred and pierced body. But as we see in the Lord's wounds, they no longer bleed. They are a sign of his triumph over death. As we consume him here, let us seek to do so with the same love with which Francis received him. The early 13th century was not the holiest time, which is one of the reasons why the church needed to be rebuilt, because we were fallen into ruin ubiquitously. And one of the early Franciscans, knowing that some priests had lived scandalous lives, asked, "Francis, what would you do if you knew that the priest celebrating Mass was a great or even notorious sinner?" And Francis said, in words that are famous, he said, "I would go and receive the Lord's sacred body from his sinful hands." He had a great sense of ex opere operato, that despite the lack of worthiness of the minister, Christ in the sacrifice of the Mass was the same God who died on Calvary to take away the sins of the world. And this is really where we learn how to do this in the Lord's memory, how to be charitable to this standard. This is where we learn a total trust in God's providence, that as St. Paul says, God the Father doesn't even spare his own Son, but gives him to us, not just once, but every day on this altar, will he not give us everything else besides? This is where we learn how to yoke ourselves to him in all his virtues. And this is where we become one, so that we bear in ourselves his marks. Praise be Jesus Christ.